For America.
My message to Republicans is join us, get on board. They don't do anything except block me.
This is not about impeachment. This is about his faithfully executing the laws of our country.
Fighting for Idaho.
With one word of participation from the governor, all of this would have gone away. This onslaught is because the party would not bend over relative to the health care exchange.
Fighting for you.
We don't need more laws. We need virtue. And looking to texts like the Bible and to the Constitution and this stepping away from the moral decay that has infiltrated our society that I think will save this country.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning, Kevin Miller with you here at 580 KIDO. Thank you all for joining us. Joining us now, our great friend Chaz Baines with us to talk about the youth of America. We remember Chaz during the evolution of the Tea Party movement. He and his dad and the family would always be going to these, and we'd have this young man still in high school giving us these great speeches about the history of America. And too many times you have folks like me that sit there and go, bah, 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 the youth of today. And I thought, why not get a conservative perspective from the youth of today? So, Chaz, good to have you with us.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk a little bit about this. For people that have followed you, your career, your speaking and everything else, what have you been up to?
I'm actually going to I'm going to school down in Southern California, and just kind of studying film. And I decided that
film.
I know. It's rough. It's rough. No, I kind of got into that, and I'm not feeling it. So I went to the President University, and I was like, this isn't working. And so he and I sat down and actually mapped out a new course list for me.
No, wait a minute. You went right to the top. You said, "Hey, Mr. President, this ain't working for me, buddy."
Yeah. The Connollys run the university that I'm at down there. Great people. I love them to death. And they're really excellent people. It's a really small university, so I'm friends with all the administration and.
You're going to college.
Yes, sir.
You were starting on film.
Yeah.
And now what are you doing?
Well, people always told me that I should go into politics. And I was like, nah, politics isn't for me. So I decided that I would custom build a political communications degree with an emphasis in philosophy. And I hope to be a public servant someday.
Right. I feel like an underachiever, and that half of that went over my head. But you'll have to speak slower for me. But Chaz, let's talk a little bit about you yourself when most of people your age and even now are hitting the video games, which they're okay, or doing other things or watching World Cup soccer. God bless them. Bless their hearts. You were doing speeches. You were giving speeches. You were doing research about our government, our history. What fascinated you so much at a young age that you decided to learn about Patrick Henry as opposed to something else?
I think for me, there's kind of this attachment to just the American dream and the American ideals that kind of have formed this nation, those principles of liberty and equality. And that's something that's really kind of captivated me, especially reading the Constitution and understanding it.
Wait a minute. You've read the Constitution?
Yeah, 2-3 times, something like that. I actually have an application on my phone. I sit down and read it for fun. I know I'm weird, but
we need more people like you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But I was studying and reading, and you see so many problems in our culture today and in our society as Americans, and you're like, if only there was a guidebook. Well, I got news for you. There happens to be. It's called the United States Constitution. And after reading that and studying that, and I should really thank the American Legion and their program, the Oratorical, which is what gave me the opportunity to really start studying and start speaking. It was the opportunity that I needed to kind of focus some of the gifts that I have in speaking and being in front of people. And so that contest really gave me an opportunity to channel what I had learned in regards to the Constitution in a way that was constructive and educational to the best of my abilities.
Right, at 580-KIDO. By the way, if you have a thought for the youth of today, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. But you have most of your folks that are into the technology, into the phones, into the Facebook. A lot of us worry that the writings of Hamilton, Jefferson, and Jay, the Federalist Papers, Hamilton, Madison, and Jay. So you would have corrected me on that. I'm a little intimidated already. And then you've got Jefferson, the brilliant writer of these fine documents. Is it relevant to your generation and the generations after you?
I absolutely think so. I mean, The problem for me, like, after examining all of this, the problem for me is what our founding documents, the Federalist Papers, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, what those outline is not, in my opinion, a form of government. It is a form of society. It is a form of morality and virtue. And I think that's something that this country has lost. We've lost that lifeblood of virtue and justice and morality that aligns all of these documents, all of these classical ideals. We've lost that beating heart of virtue that keeps us in line, because without virtue, we can't do any of these things. We fall to selfishness, as I've been reading a lot of Plato and Aristotle recently, and they speak of virtue as the ultimate good. Virtue is what keeps us in line, because virtue is when your reason governs your passions as an individual. And when you're ruled by your passions, you're just, you know, you're selfish, you're greedy, you do things for your own gain, for your pleasure, because that's what feels good, that's what the passions desire. And I think we live in a society where we are run by our passions, and without our reason to temper those passions, the rational animals that we are, when we don't have that reason anymore, we cannot support or move towards documents like the Constitution and the Federalist Papers. We can't even comprehend the wisdom in those pages because we are so unruly and passionate.
Yeah, but we see that today where it's mob rule, which Hamilton always worried against. And we see that today where it's an opinion poll, it's this, that, and the other. Never mind the law, it's all about how you feel or some nonsense like that. So as a young person today that's concerned about the employment, concerned about the future, concerned about you living the American dream, how concerned are you about your generation's ability to live up to your parents' or their parents' American dream? In other words, is that in jeopardy, and is that a fear common with millennials?
I think I was in Southern California at a talk recently by a conservative, I guess you call him speaker. You might be familiar with him, Bill Whittle. But he was down there, and I was at a talk at one of Ramona Tea Party's events. And he,
you go to Tea Party events?
I do, yes.
Not much has changed with you.
I know. Some things never change. But I was at this talk with Bill, and I went up afterwards, and I asked him, I was so lost because I was like, what do I do in regards to my generation? Like, what can we do? And he said something that I'd never heard before. He said, you know what I think? I think your generation has the most desire out of any generation to do what's right. And I think that's true. I think my generation wants to do the best that they can and do good. The problem is that they're confused as to what good really is, and they've been led astray. And I think that standing here as a member of my generation looking around, like, it's kind of like humbling and I guess a little harrowing to think that if my generation didn't exist, I'm not sure that our current administration would have been reelected, because there was a huge movement by my generation as a hip, like a pop culture icon, almost, not as a public servant. And so I think that my generation is concerned with matters of the future, but I think that they've been misguided, and they don't understand why we have the founding documents and why we have the systems that we have. They're not for progress. They're for, I'm trying to find the right word. There should not be a movement towards progress in the sense of we need to excel as a society. We need to evolve morally and virtuously, because it is through those values and traits, it is through those qualities that we will become more selfless and excel as a people. And I think that my generation understands that, and they want to excel. They want quote unquote progress. They want that. But at the end of the day, they think that that means calling a quote-unquote traditionalist a bigot and hateful. And I've had tons of friends say that. I've had tons of friends say, well, you don't know what you're talking about. You're just a traditionalist who's old and stuffy.
Right, even though how old are you?
I'm 20.
You're 20 years old. Kevin Miller, our friend Chaz Maines, with us here at 580KIDO. A view from the youth. So when you have to deal with the people of your ilk calling you names, because that's the modus operandi for them and for their older liberal brethren, how do you deal with that?
I mean, at the end of the day, for me, I used to be one of those people that would get really engaged and just get really heated, and that led to a lot of fiery rhetoric and not a lot of good logic. And right now I'm really trying to focus on the logic and reading Aristotle and, you know, understanding the logic in an argument. And so when I'm faced with something, you know, name calling and just like fiery rhetoric where you're attacking the person, not the argument. There's a couple things that I usually do in which sometimes I just disengage because there's people like that that literally just want to name call and they don't want to resolve the argument.
Haven't we become a society of that, though?
I think we have. And I think that I was discussing this with a friend of mine regarding the Second Amendment. And he and I were kind of we're both conservatives and we were bouncing ideas off each other. And I was like, why are there so many facts for the Second Amendment? How many lives guns save every year? And how many, you know, how, I don't want to say like how few lives they take, like that's a better argument, but like in all reality, millions saved, you know, and the numbers are so skewed in terms of we need the Second Amendment. And I was like, why don't people understand that? Like, why does that not make sense to people? And he brought up a very good point that I think I've seen time after time is in a liberal ideology, it's not so much that there's a factual basis. It's just like an ideologue that needs to campaign for something in terms of like their campaign, their mission, their personal excursion into life, I guess I'd say. And it's not so much an argument of facts and data like you have with the Second Amendment. It's simply, well, people are killed by firearms. It's like, yeah, people are killed by alcohol and cocaine too. So I mean, where do we want to start? And I think that, in my opinion, I don't even understand why the Second Amendment is being debated. It's the Second Amendment of the Constitution. Don't touch it. Cut dry. There it is. Done. Like it's not an argument for me.
All right, more coming up with our friend Chaz. By the way, well, let's go to the international playboy Pat from Middleton joins us here at 580 KIDO. I wish you were half as smart as Chaz.
Well, I think I'm as smart as Chaz.
Oh.
I'm just older. Some of that wisdom came with time.
I'm
not,
with you.
Maybe not all at his age, but you know, I was still into baseball and chasing girls and lollipops.
You know, look, we've relived your life 1,000 times on this show.
Hey, but you know what, Chaz? You know, you said something that got me, and you know what? Your generation, you're correct about your generation wanting to do the right thing. You just lack an understanding of what that right direction is and everything like that.
See, but I take issue with that, Pat. I think every generation, except the decadent, deplorable folks of the 60s that hugged trees and burned bras, wanted to do the right things. We're having to clean up your mess.
Who called? Oh, no. I was born in the 60s. I didn't live the 60s.
Okay, just checking.
You know, I called in. This is exactly what I was going to say. Every generation wants to do the right thing. They all have that purpose in mind. But what happens is sometimes and most times they get a little power and it goes to their heads and then they go beyond. They think they got that power because of their ideals. When reality was they got that power and then liked it so much that they liked to exhort it. And so you're right. You just lack someone with the fortitude like yourself to stand up and take charge. There's not a lot of leadership anymore in your youth generation. You've got a lot of people that say things and want to do things but don't really have the courage to stand up and really take the fight to them and say, look, this is what we believe in, guys. Come on, let's take this and move forward with it. There's no leaders in your group, and that's the problem.
Well, they voted for Obama. I blame them.
That's right. They like the ideas, and they like the idea of change, and they're easily swayed based on social media. They're so intent in that stuff that Chaz, you've done your research on Patrick Henry and the Constitution and all that. So you've gone beyond the social media. You've actually done the research and studied history in the actual text form. But these guys, these social media, when they spread the word and all their friends are spreading the exact same word, it's easier to follow. And you've got a lot of followers and no leaders.
I absolutely agree with that. I think you're absolutely correct. I think that that's more of a reflection not on the ideology of the people. I think you're absolutely right in that we need strong leadership, and that's something that I hope to do someday through public service. But I think what the, it's an excellent point that you just brought
you,
up. But
you figured this point, I was lost.
I think it's more of a commentary on my generation being almost lackadaisical and wanting someone to champion it for them. I think my generation is an entitlement generation. We think we deserve these things. I mean, look at the Occupy Wall Street movement. That was an entire group of college kids that wanted to stand on the street and just say, we deserve this, when they didn't work for it and they didn't earn it. And then you go ahead.
They get out of school and think that they're supposed to have the same income their parents have after they put in 30, 40 years of effort to get there.
Absolutely.
But that is not totally your fault, because you are not educated. You were told, hey, if you go to school, this will all be yours. Hey, if you do these things, this will all be yours. And you deserve it. It was the adults that taught you that and coddled you and said, oh, you fell down. Oh, let's pick him up and carry him to the sideline. No. Oh, you got a boo-boo? Get your butt back in there and start playing.
Well, speaking of which, get your butt back into the plant.
Into the plant? Well, I'm out there every day, man.
Well, when are you coming back in on Saturday?
Hey, I can't this Saturday. It's my daughter's birthday, but maybe I can come in the following Saturday.
No, we're off then.
You're off?
Yeah.
Well, then the following one after that.
I've heard that before. I got to run.
All right. You have a good one.
All right. Pat from Middleton at 580KIDO. Quickly to pro-life for our friend Chaz at 580KIDO. Hello, pro-life.
Hello there. Yeah, I'm glad you have Chaz on there. Chaz, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
I believe that everybody around the whole world is peer pressure oriented, and they all have a conscience, and so they will give in to peer pressure rather than follow their conscience. And it's a spiritual condition that is all around the globe, and that's the problems that we have. And our education system does not deal with that, and even the churches don't deal with that. They deal with doctrine over conscience. And so native conscience, or common sense, I guess you'd call it, that's always suppressed. And so just tell me what you think about that.
All right, pro-life, thank you for the call. And, Chaz, if you can answer that quickly, and then we'll go to the traffic.
Absolutely. I think that's very valid, and I think that comes back to Pat from Middleton's point. I think we need leadership that is virtuous and leads by example, an example of love and virtue, not power. And I think greed is such a powerful force that is very overwhelming, and I think good leadership, virtuous leadership, loving leadership would be our best shot at
earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Our friend Chaz Maine's with us as we continue on quickly to more phone calls. Tea Party Bob at 580 KIDO.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Chaz. You know, it's kind of interesting to me. It took me 66 years to get interested in politics and what's going on in our country. And this young man's 20 years old, and he's going to get him as quickly as he can. I presume he had some good parents that taught him a lot about what's going on in our Constitution, because you certainly don't learn that in the schools anymore. But I'm kind of curious. I've tried to get involved with some of the youth groups, and I find it a little difficult for some reason for them to listen to somebody that's 70 years old. You know, are there any groups?
I thought you were 60. I thought you were 69.
Well, hey, listen, you know, I'm close enough.
All right.
Moving on to the next one, Kevin, like you. are there any groups that you'd recommend that the younger generation might gravitate to get a better understanding about what's happening in our country?
Are you referring to political groups or youth groups?
I'm just talking about groups that have an actual understanding of what's happening in this country.
Actually, yeah, there's a movement I'm going to school down in Southern California, and there's a movement down there called I Am Tomorrow. And it was started by a girl that I competed against in the American Legion Oratorical at the national level, and she was representing the state of California. And we've actually stayed in contact. And she's got a group down there that is literally an entire collection of young people becoming politically active and moving and educating as best they can. And she and I are going to be working together here in a couple of months to work with the Tea Party down in Southern California, the North County Conservatives. And we're going to we're actually going to be doing a – I don't want to call
that
it a lecture, but
– that helps us in California. Any groups locally is what Bob's question is.
I mean, what about somebody like Young Americans for Liberty?
I think I'm not familiar enough with those groups in around here. I was kind of focusing in the American Legion, and then I've gone off to school since then. But I've heard nothing but good things about the Young Americans for Liberty, and I've heard good things about Young Republicans groups on college campuses. I believe there's one at Boise State, and I think there's one at U of I as well. And those are groups of people that are working hard to educate their peers. And I've known a couple people that are over here at Boise State in the Young Republicans group or the.
Fair enough, Bob. We'll see you tomorrow.
You take care, Kevin. See you tomorrow morning.
All right, thank you. Quickly to your old friend Daryl with the Canyon County Tea Party. We'll probably see Daryl and Sheila tomorrow. Daryl, not a lot of time, but what would you like to say to Chaz?
Well, I'd like to have him. I really enjoyed a presentation he gave on whose responsibility or whose duty is it to protect the Constitution. He gave a very good presentation on that. Might be good for him to say a little bit about that. Hey, Kevin. Don't let them grind you down.
You beat me to it. I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, tomorrow.
All right, right back at you. Quickly to Tom Munns, TomMunns.com for Chaz.
Good morning, Chaz. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Tom.
Hey, Chaz, I got a deal. I'm hoping that you'll jump in on this. It'd be perfect for you. I was in communication with the University of Idaho up there in Moscow during the state convention, and they had these free speech zones. Well, it opened up a door that I think that we should utilize. And I thought of you this morning when I heard you on the radio. They're looking for people to talk to their constitutional law class. And I actually was given the opportunity to be able to do that. But I would gladly step aside if you wanted to do it. But I would, there's a lady named Shelby up there that was answering the phone. And
well, maybe you can do the personal message to him on Facebook.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, it's a great opportunity. I love what he's doing, and keep up the good work.
And Tom, we love you. It's not radio. It's Kevin Miller.
I betcha.
You're a great American. All right, thank you.
Right.
Bye. A little gratuitous there of me. Quickly to Miles at 580KIDO.
Right. I'm a direct descendant of Samuel Adams, and
yes.
The slogan of the American Revolution, Chaz, was no king but King Jesus. And the focus on the Bible seems to be missing in our great books of study of the great books of the Western world.
Absolutely.
And I wonder if you had any take on that aspect, the concept of liberty that's embedded in the scripture.
Great, great point. Final minute, Chaz.
I think that is simply a reflection on the loss of virtue within our society. And I know I keep coming back to that, but at the end of the day, I think America's problem is not a matter of legislation. We don't need more laws. We need virtue. And looking to texts like the Bible and to the sacred scriptures and to the Constitution and to those founding documents, it's a return to the morality and this stepping away from the moral decay that has infiltrated our society that I think will save this country. And I think that is possible. And I think that we need, back to that leadership point, we need those leaders who will sacrifice themselves, not for the money, not for the power, not for the glory, but to bring people into the light of virtue and to bring people with them out of this cave. If you've read Plato's Republic, there is this cave of ignorance. And I think that scripture and text, just like the Constitution, will be the guiding light to bring us out of that darkness.
Good luck, my friend.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Great job.
Thank you.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
And Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, 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 manly men.
Men, 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 manly men.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Dave Burnett with us, the Manly Man segment. Dave, how are you? Are you recovering from the Boise Music Festival?
Yeah, a little bit of too much sun. A lot of fun, good time, a lot of people out there. It was a great time on Saturday.
If you had to pick the acts that you liked the best, what would they be?
I'll be honest, I was pleasantly surprised by Train. Very entertaining. I kind of was expecting, you know, too many ballads, but it wasn't. Very up-tempo, and when it wasn't their hits, doing a nice remix and cover job of some 70s and 80s music, which was very good. So, yeah, so no, it was very, very entertaining. So I enjoyed it.
Well, if you had to rank them, who would be the all-time favorite to the, well, not all-time, you know, top five?
Top five?
Mm-hmm. Top five acts.
Well, that would be my opinion, not necessarily the
people's. No, no, no. Who would they be besides Train?
I would say Sky Blue, very popular. Fits in the tantrums, very popular as well. I thought Kelly Brannon was actually well-received. I would like to see him with the band, opening act of the big acts. And out on the ground stage, a number of very good local bands were out there as well. So, no, it was a great time.
Well, anything else going on?
You know, locally or nationally, this whole thing down on our border, this immigration thing, it's out of control. You know, it's easy for us to sit here and go, whatever. But holy cow, if you live down on the border states and those communities down on the border, it is a mess down there right now. And it's just astounding. And meanwhile, our government kind of sits back not helping these states after we've kind of created the mess ourselves.
I don't know if we've created it.
Well, we as in our leadership in our country.
A lack of leadership.
Or lack of, yeah, exactly. But
well, I would have to say they finally won, whether it's the liberals, whether it's the internationalists, whether it's the progressives, they finally won. They found a way to defeat America. And you remember Obama's America 2016. I went out and spent my own money. I thought it was so important to give away to the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember the whole theme of it. And now that movie, as shocking as it was, seems very conservative into what's happening. You have a president that's apathetic. You have a president that views things very differently. How else can you figure this out? I mean, the borders are collapsing, and he wants $2 billion. He told George Stephanopoulos the other day to make sure that we can take care of them. We can't even take care of ourselves.
I know. You know. I don't know. It's got to be frustrating. And for those who live down in those border communities, I think of the ranchers who are down there dealing with it. It's just a mess. And I'm not quite sure how we're going to be able to clean it up. It's basically we're being flooded by bodies coming across our borders.
Well, and it comes down to people that have supported the Dream Act. And the people in Central America aren't stupid. They've gotten the word that it's time to come up north. All you have to do is say, and they hand them sheets to recite, so they are within the law.
Yeah, so they know what to say. And I get it. I lived in Central America for 4 years, and I get why they would want to live here, because we are or have been the greatest country in the world. And I get I would want to live here too, but you know, do it legally.
Well, I think they are coming here just because they know that we don't enforce their borders, our borders.
No.
That's the issue. So you can come to America, you can steal, you can take, and the Americans are dumb enough to take to pay for it. And really, when you're stealing medical, when you're stealing educational,
mm-hmm.
that's what it comes down to. People say, well, blah, blah, blah. That's really what it comes down to.
Well, yeah, I mean, could you imagine working as a healthcare provider in a hospital or a doctor's clinic on a border town? Not in just a border town, those cities that are, you know, several hundred miles in. And working in the medical facilities would be an absolute mess.
Well, and that's why I really wonder about the whole thing concerning immigration. People say, oh, we're a multicultural society. Well, we're a multicultural society because we haven't enforced our borders.
Well, no, we're a multicultural society because of the nature of what made America. But those
what made America were people coming to the country legally, not illegally.
That's what I was trying to say.
Well, it took you long enough.
I didn't know you had a stopwatch on me.
Well, when you say no, that fires me up.
But I'm just saying that what made us multicultural, what made us strong, are those who came through the proper channels, who came through Ellis Island, who came through, you know, the proper way of coming and not coming with a handout, but coming to say, give me an opportunity to do something with my life. And I'm not saying everyone is coming in on the borders, not trying to do something with their life. But right now they have their handout saying, help us do this, give us that, give us, you know.
Right.
You know, so there's a huge difference of what has made us multicultural strong.
One would argue, though, we were never really multicultural.
How would you argue that?
Because in 1960, 80% of the population in America was white.
Yeah, but a portion of it were Irish. A portion of them were German. A portion of them were...
But that had similar beliefs.
So were you talking multicultural or are you talking race?
Would you let me finish?
No, I mean, I'm asking a question.
Right, I'm talking about... You're talking about people from Western Europe that had the same values, the same faith, the same religion, Christianity, that had the same family structure. Very different from the folks coming in from other parts of the world that have been allowed to come to this country. Thank you, Ted Kennedy, and the Immigration Act of 1964 that showed a bias against people from Western Europe and encouraged folks and gave them, you call it affirmative action for immigration, a hand up, a handout to people from third world countries. And when we talk about this great influx, it started in 64 with this Immigration Reform Act, number one. Number two, not enforcing the borders. I believe, according to the federal law, that people from Mexico, you're only allowed 1,000 workers a year or something like that to come in legally as far as visas and everything else. And you have people flooding in, so you would assume that a great majority of the influx of folks that have come in here illegally. Just by the sheer volume. And we have not done anything about it. We have rewarded them. And now when people say, oh, the changing demographics of America, America never voted to change their demographics. The people never voted on this. This was decided by Ted Kennedy and the liberals and progressives in Congress. And you can go back to 64 with that Immigration Reform Act. And that is where the great changing dynamic of America happened. How else can you explain America was clearly the same country until about 1964, 1970, when all of a sudden all these folks started coming in. And like I said, the government refuses to do anything about it. And we talk about the myth of multiculturalism. Well, that was promoted in the 1970s. Instead of focusing in on the Constitution, instead of focusing in on America, well, we're from everyone, and the melting pot has become a salad bowl. And quite frankly, I find it pretty distressing myself because no one has a love for America anymore. And if you do, you're antiquated, you're old, you're angry, and you're white.
I would take exception with your comment about multicultural, but you would disagree with me, so I won't go into it.
Well, no, that's fine. I mean, you and I can disagree. I mean, when you say something, I'll say, okay, well, I disagree with that.
Mm-hmm.
You say, no, you're wrong.
I didn't realize I said no, you're wrong.
You do all the time.
I was saying,
I'm
no,
very
you
sensitive
hear
person.
It. You hear it that way.
Exactly.
With I'm my just own saying, ears, with my... when it comes to multicultural, I mean, somebody who's Irish, very different culturally than somebody who's Italian. Somebody who's Italian, very different culturally than somebody who's German.
Right, but they all came from a shared background, Western Europe.
I'm talking culturally very different. And there's nothing wrong with being culturally different.
Well, you have Lutherans, you have Catholics, and you have Catholics.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and you do have a lot of German.
Mexico, if you're from Mexico, what is your religious background in Mexico?
Catholic.
Okay.
And that's why I disagree with the church. I have a big issue being a Catholic myself, that the church's stance on immigration, that they enable it to happen.
So I'm saying,
and I have a big issue with the Pope too.
Religiously, there are similarities.
Good agree, yeah. But again, you look at the culture of Mexico versus the culture of Western Europe, very different. And I would argue to you at 580KIDO that the myth of multiculturalism is destroying America. It's not like, hey, everybody, let's all get along. We're all Americans. I'm from this. I'm a hyphenated American. I'm this, that. There was a book, one of the few I've read in my life, called Alien Nation by a guy called Peter Brimlow. Pardon me. And Brimlow talked about the enclaves that people live in. Now, do you agree with that, that you have people that, because of their shared interests, their shared beliefs, their shared backgrounds, they live in these particular enclaves? And where English is not spoken, where people are, instead of focusing in on assimilation, they want the government to assimilate to them. Look, how many languages do we have the driver's license in, even in Idaho?
Yeah, see, now I have issues with that. It should be English.
Yeah.
And if you come here, and I'm saying this as somebody who has lived in a foreign country for 4 years, and I had to do everything in Spanish.
I have a couple other questions for you there, buddy.
All right.
So I almost got in a fight the other day.
That's good.
What do you mean that's good?
Yeah, you know, that's good. Who were you fighting with?
So there's this guy. He's like 10 years older and about 100 pounds heavier than me. And I'm at the Subway in Star hanging out. And this guy, like, pulls his car so close to mine, I couldn't get into it. I really couldn't get into it, man. And I'm going, dude, am I going to have to throw down with this guy? He was the only one in there, and he was having, like, a turkey sub. Look, dude, have a steak and cheese. It's okay. And so I don't know what to do, so I walk over, walk around, and I come back, and I go, hey, buddy, hey, man, you're going to have to move your car. I physically cannot get in. I mean, literally, it's like 6 inches. And I'm thinking to myself, this happens all the time everywhere. Wherever you park, I always try and park away from people. But there you have it. Somebody just park. I mean, is that just a thing to do that you have to be so close to somebody?
I always try, because I drive a big truck. So I always park way out on the edge of the parking lot walking. I'm not going to park a big truck, try to get it next to somebody.
Right. But again, it just it goes to show me. It's just weird. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm sorry. Well, think of somebody beside yourself there, pal. Look, I know you want to feed your pie hole, but come on. So you got that issue. And then yesterday, I got to do this one quickly. I'm at the Fred Meyer on Chinon. I was there three times yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I see two guys, late teens, early 20s, walking hand in hand. You seen that yet? I've seen that in New York City. I haven't seen anywhere else but here. And I'm thinking to myself, I can't wait to talk to Dave Burnett about this one. So when people say, oh, people are persecuted for their, you know, gayness, nobody bothered him.
No.
Nobody even gave him a double look except me. I'm going, what the? What would you have done?
What would you want me to do, go slug him?
I didn't say that. No.
No, I'm just saying, what would you want me to do?
I just don't know. I'm just sitting there going, I never want to hear any more about people being persecuted, because these guys felt so strongly enough that they had to make a statement in between, the plastic chairs for $6.99 and the cherries for $3.99 a pound.
$3.99?
Well, I'm just guessing.
Oh, I was going to say, that's a good buy.
Yeah. I think it's on sale this week.
It's the world we live in, and if you give it a double look, people shake their head at you. Nah, not all people. You know, I don't. Okay, I'm going to back off of that. I think the majority of people shake their head going, oh, brother. But what are you going to do?
I thought about it. I thought about a lot of things.
What are you going to do?
That's why I wanted to come to you for wisdom and guidance, which I always do.
You know,
and look what happened there. You're wrong.
How am I wrong?
No, you always say I'm wrong.
I didn't say you were wrong.
Well, you say a lot of things.
You make me laugh. You make me laugh out loud.
Out loud.
I didn't say you were wrong.
Well, you said no. Same thing.
No to what?
I don't know.
Boy, have a cup of coffee. Traffic now. You're coming out of. Oh.